Let's all rise and recite the call to worship together. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all peoples. So this morning, right, as we worship, as we sing, we're declaring God's glory. We're kind of like, we're getting hyped about it, right? Something you're so excited about. You just want to like sing about it, you know? And that's kind of what we're going to be doing right now. So let's not just sing a bunch of words, but think about who God is and what he's done for us as we sing. So I'm going to hand it over to Cindy to lead us in worship.
Yeah, that's so true, Jonathan. Thanks so much. So the first song we're going to sing today is called Hosanna, Praise is Rising. And I just did a quick Google search of what Hosanna means. And I wanted to share it with us so we can sing it all together. So Hosanna, like in the original language, actually started off meaning like God save us, like help us. It was a cry for help and deliverance. And then progressively, like it kind of became this like proclamation of God is going to save us. And it's a declaration of faith in the saving grace of God that is coming and has already come for us. So like whichever end of the spectrum we fall in today, like we're crying to God for help, or we are holding on to that promise. Let us sing to the Lord and really praise him for his salvation.
Welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Yes, we want to welcome you guys all here today. And we're glad you guys can attend. Also, for the people online, we want to welcome you guys to turn your camera so we feel like we can kind of see you guys. You can see on the projector, we do have the people online. So if you guys can turn your cameras, it feels like you're with us here today. So welcome you here. It definitely feels like fall has started. The leaves are changing. The sky is a beautiful dark gray this morning. So seasons are changing, but our God is always there to save us, right? No matter what season of the year, no matter what time of the year, no matter cold, hot, rain, or shine, God is always there to save us. And that's one of the reasons why we come to worship together. And so even though the weather is dreary, the weather is kind of stinky right now, we know that God is always with us and God always loves us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together and to allowing us to worship you together, Lord. Help us to find strength in you to face the day. Help us to find peace in the midst of our storms. Help us to be able to get through things, Lord. And not only just to get through things, but help us to conquer, Lord. As the Bible says, through you, we are more than conquerors. So I pray that whatever challenges come in our lives, help us to be more than just dealing with it. Help us to conquer it, God. Help us to crest that mountain. Help us to win the battles in our lives, God, for your glory. And no matter what things we're facing, Lord, I pray that your love, your grace, your mercy, just your presence, God, can be there with us. So that no matter what happens, God, we feel that we are more than conquerors. And yeah, as Cindy said, Lord, if wherever we're at right now, if we're in the Lord save us category, God, I pray that you can come and save us wherever we are. And if we already believe and understand and just we're in a good place, we know that you save us, Lord. Help us to also proclaim that as well. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Let us glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey. So today's scripture reading, I'm just going to read it. We're going to kind of go back to a little more regular having people read the scriptures. But for now, let's read this slowly together. And as we read it together, I want us to really think about the words. What are maybe the things that you're hearing? Visualize in your mind. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you smelling? What are you noticing as you read this passage slowly? So let's go together. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his hair, feet with her hair. So the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Next slide. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." As we sing the next song, let's meditate on that passage. What things stand out to you? What things really are noticeable? May God bless the reading of his word.
So the next song we're going to be singing is Broken Vessels. The song also is always just really speaks to me, because I think when we come before God, we really do come empty-handed and with these broken pieces before him. It's really about his power and his glory in our lives to bring those pieces back together and really just mend them and make us whole for his purposes. Let's surrender to God this morning and bring ourselves before him. And pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we just praise you for your amazing grace and your love for us. It's because of you, Jesus, who you laid down your life first for us, and you broke yourself for us so that we can be put back together and mended and become whole. So in your presence, God, we ask for that strength that you promise us, and we ask for to know your love, that when we think about you, God, that we would know your love and we would think on your love, we would understand it deep in our hearts today. So I pray this morning that you would speak to us and just reveal yourself to us through your word, so that we can trust you and we can know how we should present ourselves before you, God, with our whole heart. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Here's a question. What do really passionate gamers do that might seem weird to non-gamers? Oh, you guys can sit down. You guys can sit down without my permission. God's not going to strike you down if you sit down without me telling you to. So what do really passionate gamers do that might seem weird to non-gamers? The what?
We roast each other.
Roast each other, yeah. They kind of give sort of gamer insults. Really competitive. That seems kind of weird. Like, I like to play games for fun. I don't know why these people are so angry at each other. What else? Toxic. All right, they can be really competitive and kind of angry at each other a lot. Or there come other things, right? Like, you know, there are certain gamers that I know that buy like tons and tons of equipment. I'm like, yo, like, isn't like one or two enough? Like, what, do you need everything? Like, do you have that much time that you can play everything? Right? Or like, I'm not knocking people, but like something I see a lot with gamers on YouTube or something, they like really fancy keyboards and cases. And it's like, I'm not that into it. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I don't really care what my keyboard looks like or what my computer looks like, but evidently it's a thing. I Googled gamer rig and this is what came up. Or for me, I just want my computer to work, but evidently they like it to look really pretty. Or back when I was younger in the 90s, right? There's something called LeetSpeak, which is like super computer nerdy, like talking to each other. Or maybe people that are super into gaming, right? They play games like all day and all night. And I'm like, don't you have anything else that you need to do? All right. So people that are super into gaming, right? Like, right. They spend a ton of money buying all sorts of gaming things. Like, we all know that video game consoles and computers cost a ton of money, and they spend a ton of time playing games. And the way they talk, right, they get toxic or lead speak or whatever. And that affects the way they talk. And for non-gamers, you're like, oh, okay. How about maybe not gamers? How about people that are really into maybe drama or TV shows or anime? What do they do that might seem kind of weird to non-fans? Cry? Like, cry at what, Clement?
Good question.
Oh! Zing! It's just a character, man. Why are you so sad? right? So people get like, or so that you're into, you know, a drama or a TV show or anime, right? Oh, this character died. And the people that aren't in the show are like, you know, that actor's still alive, right? Like, nobody died in real life. Okay, so maybe get super emotional. What else can you think of? Get merch of their favorite characters, right? Certain anime fans, maybe they like to do cosplay. Here's some good quality Disney cosplay. Maybe you're in one of these boats. People that are super into dramas or shows, they'll stay up and binge like hours and days watching a certain show, right? Or people that are super into it, don't just watch it. They like to dress up as those characters in the shows, right? Or there'd be like cartoon fans or maybe drama fans. I know they like to buy the makeup and the accessories and the clothing items of the people in the drama. Or maybe they like to follow the social media of those people. Right? And for if you're not into it, you're like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Right? People that are super into it, they spend a lot of time watching the show. They spend a lot of time thinking about it. They spend a lot of time or money like dressing up or acting a certain way, right? And for people that aren't into it, it might seem kind of weird or it might seem kind of strange. And usually too, right, with gamers or not, drama fans, right? What happens if you ask somebody who's super into it a question about the thing that they're into? What usually happens? They talk forever about it? Do you have something, Trevor? They talk about it, right? If you ask a gamer, like, tell me about your game. Why do you like it, right? Oh, let me tell you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? If you ask about an anime fan, why do you like this anime? What are they going to do? It's about this character, and then she's like a dragon, but she's also like a schoolgirl, and she's like also like a this. And you're like, whoa, right? And they'll talk to you forever about it, right? That's kind of what it is when the people are super into it. That might seem kind of like, okay, how about Christians? Right? What do really passionate Christians do that might seem weird to non-Christians? That's something to think about for today. When we think about fandoms, right? People that are super into certain things and they just go like 100% into that. The way they talk, the way they act, they don't really care what other people think. They're just super into that thing and they're willing to share about it. But do we do the same with our Christian faith? Are we worried about what people think about, or are we worried about what we spend on it? As we look into this passage, we're going to look at somebody who's so in love with Jesus that she doesn't care about how much things cost, and she doesn't care about how other people are going to think. She's just super passionate about Jesus, and that's all she cares about at this time. So let's look at today's passage. 6 days before the Passover. So this is roughly about a week before Jesus is going to die on the cross. Jesus is going to die quite soon. And well, this is one of his last meals. So Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was. If you guys remember, Lazarus was the one that Jesus had raised from the dead. John, the author of this gospel, really wants you to know that this is the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Right? Because John chapter 11, the previous chapter, is when Jesus does this. This isn't old history. This is like the previous episode. And so Jesus goes to the town where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And so they gave a dinner for him there. So imagine, there's this guy who died, raised back from the dead, and then Jesus traveled. And then the guy, Jesus comes back, and I'm sure the town is like, hey, this is the guy that raised Lazarus back from the dead. Let's have a feast. Let's have an event for him in his honor. And Martha was serving them. Remember, Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus is one of those reclining at the table with him. So Lazarus and Jesus are sitting at the table. And oftentimes when you think of dining at table, I think we think of like this, kind of the Western style. You have a table and you sit at the table and then you eat. But notice the Bible says those reclining at the table with him. So it's more like this. The bottom right photo, or drawing rather, right? So they would have these kind of couches and they would like lie on their sides and eat, which actually looks super uncomfortable to me. But that's how they would eat. They would lie down, they would center table with all the food, and they would lie down like this and they would eat and pick off the table. And that's going to make sense in a few moments. So imagine there's this big feast, this big dinner, Jesus, Lazarus, the guy who died but came back from the dead. And then all these people around him, they're eating and they're feasting and having a wonderful meal. And what happens? Then Mary took a pound of perfume. The actual measurement is little, like about 3/4 of a pound, but they're kind of just rounding. But imagine a whole pound of perfume. How many of you guys have been to perfume stores and bought perfume? Could you imagine buying a pound of perfume? It's like $50 for this tiny little bottle, right? And it's empty. Could you imagine like a pound of like Chanel number 5 or something, right? That'd be so crazy expensive. But then Mary takes this pound of perfume. It says pure and expensive nard. Nard is a plant. We'll talk about it a little more later, but it's a plant that creates a perfume. And she anoints Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And there's two things that stand out as you read this passage, but I hope it stands out for you. So she takes a pound of perfume. And one of the things that stands out is that Mary's so passionate about serving Jesus that she isn't stopped by the cost. She didn't take a little tiny bit of perfume. She takes a whole pound of perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. I'm thinking about Mary's motivation. Is she thinking like, oh, this is Jesus. I got some perfume. This is kind of expensive stuff. I'm going to give him a little bit, you know. Jesus is worth maybe half a pound of perfume, you know. She just like takes this perfume and just anoints Jesus' feet. She's not worried about the cost. And if you think about how much this costs, it is pretty crazy, right? She takes pure and expensive nard. If you guys don't know, nard is grown in the Himalayas. So it's from like Nepal, India, those kinds of places, right? So this plant that produces nard is like almost 4,000 kilometers away in Nepal or India. That's about almost the same distance as Vancouver down to Tampa where my parents live. So this is not a local, oh, I get some nard here, I get some nard there. If you want to get nard, you got to travel like thousands of kilometers to climb a mountains in the Himalayas to get this precious plant. Later on in this passage, Judas says, hey, look, you could have sold this plant for this perfume for 300 denarii. So one denarius is about what people make in one day of work on average. So 300 denarii is about what someone makes in a year. Imagine this jar of perfume costs as much as what somebody makes in one whole year. It would take 1 year of working and saving that money and not spending on anything to buy this perfume. Like a modern day equivalent, the average salary in Vancouver is about $48,000. So imagine if I whip out a perfume that costs $48,000 of perfume. Think about that. That's like way more than my car, right? And yet she takes it. And what does she do? She just pours it out. But think about it. She loves Jesus so much. She cares about Jesus so much. She wants to show Jesus love so much that this cost, this magic perfume, she doesn't really care about how much it costs her. Right? And a lot of people ask too, where did she get perfume that's that expensive? Right? Again, this is 1 year's salary. How in the world can she afford it? Some people think that maybe this is a dowry. So usually back in the day, when a girl marries into a family, the girl's family would give that the husband's family a certain amount of money. And that's sort of the bride price. So potentially for Mary, like this is what she needs to get married. If she were to find a man, or a man were to find her, and if she were to get married, this would be the gift that her family would give to the man's family. But now she's poured it on Jesus and there's no gift. So potentially, maybe the right man does come around, but she's not going to have a gift to give to that family. She's not going to be able to marry him. Or think about that 1 year salary. What if their finances go bad? What if, I don't know, something happens and they need money? Well, 1 year of salary is gone. Like this is a tremendous sacrifice that she's giving to him. And if you think about it too, it does kind of make sense. Because on one hand, you're like, why would you waste this kind of money on Jesus? But on the other hand, her brother died. Her brother died and was buried for 4 days. But Jesus brought her brother back from the dead. And think about it, right? 1 year salary? My brother is alive, right? Like, which one would you pick? A brother or 1 year of perfume? It's nothing, right? I would give all my money if my brother could live, right? Like, that's nothing compared to my brother's life. And then, right, as you see how, like, this scales up, it's very different. So for Mary, Jesus gave her a gift that is worth thousands of these bottles of perfume. And so she's like, I'm so excited about Jesus. He just takes it and anoints his feet and gives this gift to Jesus. And so back then too, right? One of the reasons why perfumes are so valuable is because people don't have a lot of good soaps and shampoos. People don't have running water. So people really stink a lot back then. A lot of BO. And so perfume was one of the ways that, okay, you kind of make people smell a little better. And so this is like a special gift. And so Mary doesn't really care about the cost. Jesus has given her something that's a million times more valuable than just perfume. I think too, like, what kind of costs prevent us from loving Jesus? Because I think about it too, right? People that are super into fans of certain things, like, they love it so much that it doesn't really matter the cost oftentimes, right? Like sports fans, they love that sports team. They'll spend thousands of dollars to go to all of those games. People that are super into, gaming or video games will spend thousands of dollars to buy a fancy computer and fancy keyboard, fancy monitor and all these games. People that are super into dramas will spend so much time watching a whole show and doing all the research and getting super into it. Like, people that are super into something, they don't really care about the cost because this thing means so much to them that I'm willing to spend whatever just to experience this even more. And I think as Christians, right, what kinds of costs prevent you from loving Jesus? Right, for Mary, this is like, hey, I can show Jesus love and honor. I got his perfume, boom. What are the times where you see maybe a time where you can serve Jesus or love Jesus and you're like, okay, maybe not. Right? Maybe times where, like, you realize it's going to sacrifice your time. Right? I can spend this time to serve God. I can spend this time to spend time with God, reading my Bible. I can spend this time praying. I can spend this time encouraging other people. I can pray for other people. I can come to this church gathering to worship together. But the cost? Well, I could be doing this instead. I could be doing that instead. And I think, of course, right, is that weighing again, right? Like, here is Jesus Christ who died for your sins. Here is Jesus who gives you salvation, who gives you eternal life to be able to live with him for all eternity. He's the one that gives you the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enables you to live a different life and a changed life. He is God. And so suddenly I feel that costs maybe, what kind of costs maybe need to be reprioritized for us? I struggle with that too sometimes, right? Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, 20 more minutes of sleep. And I'm like, but it's God, right? Is Jesus worth the sacrifice of a little bit of sleep? And as Mitzi knows, I am a night owl. I can stay up late at night. Oh my goodness, waking up in the morning is so hard for me. And so for me, it's kind of like, is Jesus worth me fighting my urge to sleep? Just wake up a little earlier and spend a little time with him. Right? Or like there are times where like I want to go, I get distracted. I want to go on Facebook. I want to go do something. But then like, am I willing to sacrifice like that time to like spend time with God, read my Bible, pray, like instead of just getting distracted, just chill out and just me and God together. Is he worth it? Or maybe to give to church or give to a charitable cause that supports Christian causes. But I remember when we also give money to Compassion. And that's a Christian organization that helps provide things for kids with the gospel of Christ as well. And they're kind of like, is this worth giving that money to that child in Africa? Right? Is it worth giving money to church? Is it worth giving money to certain causes? Is it worth giving up my time? I think, again, too, like, think about the things in your life. I'm sure there are things in your life where like, I'm just willing to, just pour all into it. But do you have that same idea with Jesus? Are you willing to just give and give to Jesus? So what costs are preventing you from loving Jesus? I'm not saying you got to do everything, give up everything 24/7. But at least start asking yourself, like, what are the costs that are preventing me from loving Jesus? Or it could be money, it could be time, it could be something that you're sacrificing. And Mary sacrificed too. The second thing is that she's not stopped by feeling awkward. Right? Like anime fans don't worry about how awkward they feel telling about their anime. They'll tell you, right? Right? Gamers don't care about awkward they feel by talking about games. Drama fans don't care about awkward. Like sports fans, right? They don't care how weird it is to be so obsessed with their sports team. They don't care. They just love it. And so Mary is so into Jesus that she doesn't care how weird this looks. I mean, think about it. She takes a pound of perfume and expensive nard and she pours it on Jesus' feet. Here's a sign of humility, right? The feet are like, back then and even now, like, you don't really touch people's feet, right? Like pre-COVID, right? When we see each other, we'll shake hands, you know, maybe give a hug. But I don't touch your feet, right? That's the weird thing, right? Back in that ancient culture, right, people walked around in sandals, so their feet got super dirty. Imagine walking in the desert, getting sweaty in sandals, open-toed sandals. It's gross. So usually back in that society, slaves or people very, 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 very low social status, only they would touch people's feet, like to wash it or to tie your shoes or whatever. But here Mary is showing humility by like anointing and wiping Jesus's feet with perfume. And not only that, too, she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. She doesn't pull a towel. She doesn't go to the nearest washroom and say, hey, look, can I use this guest towel? Okay. She uses her own hair. In ancient culture, the women had to cover their head. They had to tie it or bind it or something. But then here Mary is uncovering her hair, untying it. And that's super awkward, super not normal for back then. But she doesn't care because she wants to give that personal sacrificial touch to Jesus as she pours this perfume on his feet and probably rubs it and spreads the perfume and uses her hair to gently to wipe the feet. Right? This is a really intimate, really close, really loving, caring touch. Like almost like the image that in my head, right? This tenderness of like almost like a mom and a child. Right? Like a mom and a child just eagerly, tenderly, like, man, these towels are too hard for my baby's skin. I'm just going to use my soft hair and I'm going to use this to brush. That's kind of the vibe I get from Mary. Here she is kneeling down by Jesus' feet. Remember, this is how they would sit, right? So imagine Jesus' feet are out there and she kneels down by Jesus' feet. She pours oil on his feet and takes her hair and just and wipes and brushes gently Jesus' feet. This is like so intimate, so personal, so tender for Mary. But imagine everybody else around there would be like, what are you doing? This is really weird. Why are you uncovering your hair? Why are you touching his feet? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Right? Of course, those laws aren't God's laws. Those are just social norms. But for Mary, she really cares about showing Jesus love. I want to ask us too, like, what awkwardness prevents us from loving Jesus? What awkward things, what moments do we feel like, I want to show Jesus love, but like, this is kind of weird. Like, for example, how many times perhaps, like, have you had opportunities to be able to share your faith? Or mention that you're Christian, but you feel kind of like, oh, I don't want to make things weird. I don't want things to be funny. Like, I appreciate Cindy sharing with me in one of her classes. There was a thing where you kind of give a biography about yourself, right? And you kind of share about yourself, introductory. And then Cindy shared about her faith and how that made a difference in her. And then she felt really good about that, right? To be able to let other people know. And guess what? She found another Christian in her class too, right? How many of us kind of like, we're Christian, but we don't want to like make that a thing? I know in the workplace, oftentimes Christianity is not always smiled upon. Right? Mitzi has talked about at work, they want diversity and sometimes saying you're Christian might give people the wrong idea. But are we willing to say, hey, look, yes, I know this might be awkward. Yes, I know it might be a little weird, but I want to let people know. Right? Not wave a Christian banner over your head, but to put that in there somehow, to have an opportunity to be able to share that truth about yourself. Or maybe how many opportunities have we had when somebody asks us about our faith oh, you're Christian. Well, what do you think about this? Or what do you believe about this? But we feel it's kind of awkward. We don't really want to tell them about our faith. It feels kind of weird. But it's kind of different, right? Because if you're super into something, you'll tell them, right? If I ask you about your favorite TV show or your favorite music or your favorite whatever, right? Oftentimes, you'll feel really open to share and talk and just, yeah, let me know. But if a non-Christian asks you, well, hey, you love this Jesus guy, right? Can you tell me about him? Suddenly we're stopped by awkwardness. Like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's pretty good. You know, like suddenly we're worried about being awkward. We're worried about it sounding weird. Like, so what are the awkwardness that prevents you from loving Jesus? Or maybe, again, I've shared this before, maybe at school. The kids are back at school, and there are opportunities in the day to pray. I remember, too, in the lunchroom, right? Like, the Bible doesn't say you have to pray before every meal. But as Christians, we oftentimes pray before meals just to show gratefulness, right? If your mom cooks you dinner, hopefully you say, thanks for the dinner, Mom, right? 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 And so that's kind of like when God provides for us food, it's kind of, we take a minute and say, hey, God, thanks for this food, right? And I remember in school, like at lunch, am I willing to thank God? Just not like 10 seconds to pray, not like an hour, just like, hey, God, thank you for the food. Thank you, Lord, for the good day at school, da-da-da-da-da, you know, a little short prayer. I remember like being in class, like school, I'd be like, okay, nobody's looking. Thank God for the food. Okay, good. Thank God for this food. It's pretty delicious. Okay, nobody saw me, you know? I'd be worried about how people see me, but like, you know, God is the one that saves me. He forgives me, gives me eternal life. He gives me his son, Jesus Christ. He gives me the Holy Spirit. He gives me a new life. He gives me a new family. Da 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 da. The list goes on and on. Am I willing to show God love, even when it might be awkward? We talked about evangelism too. Right? There's a guy that came and shared in our adult fellowship. And I'd like to get our group to get to the point where we feel comfortable telling others about Jesus. Right? And to not worry about the awkwardness. Of course, we should do a good job. We should not be weird or creepy. But we want to get past the point where you just feel awkward talking about it. Right? So what kind of awkwardnesses prevent you in your life from loving Jesus? Next, the pastor says, so the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. As Mary poured this, a whole pound of perfume on Jesus' feet, the whole house was filled with this fragrance of the perfume. Everybody in the house could smell it. Even though she's only pouring on Jesus' feet, everybody could smell it. Everybody could enjoy that perfume. And Mary's actions are experienced by everyone in the house. Even though they're primarily, Jesus is getting the, you know, the most of the effect, right? He's getting on his feet. He's getting the wiping. He's getting that moment mostly. But indirectly, everybody in the area can smell the beautiful perfume. And that's something interesting too. With our loving and serving, sometimes we focus so much on the costs. We focus so much on the awkwardness. We forget that as we love God, hey, it actually affects the people around us. This beautiful act that we do impacts other people, right? As Cindy shared about her faith to her class, hopefully other people can see, oh, maybe this Jesus guy is something, right? It looks like he made a big difference in her life. And then Cindy was also really encouraged when another classmate also mentioned their faith briefly in the essay too, right? The paper. And that encouraged her, right? There's this kind of like, other people were impacted that she didn't realize. Right? As we spend time praying to God in school, there could be other Christians that are encouraged by seeing you spend time praying to God in front of all of these people. As we share the gospel to other people, if anybody asks us about Jesus, you know, we're loving Jesus by sharing it with them. This can help them to understand who God is. And Mitzi, I share too at work, trying to follow God, trying to do the things that honor God at work. And other people at work have noticed things. They see that she's different. They see that she's more caring, or they see that she's more loving, or she's not the same as other people at work. And as we serve God, as we love Jesus, it doesn't just affect you and Jesus, it affects other people. It encourages them. Like I remember seeing certain people that, just hearing stories about people who would just give 110% to God. Right? There are these Christians that, you know, no matter what happens, they will worship together with other Christians. No matter what happens, they will do whatever they can to spend time with God. No matter what happens, they don't care. They'll tell other people about Jesus. And every time I meet those Christians, I'm always encouraged, right? What they do with God doesn't just stay with God. It also spreads like a perfume to everybody around them. And other people can also, wow, that's amazing. That's wonderful. That's loving. That's caring. That's, wow, I want to do that too. How does loving Jesus affect others around you? Maybe in your family, maybe at school, or maybe your coworkers. Like, for example, Mitzi and I have some friends that we spend time with that aren't Christian. And now they know that every time we eat, we always spend a moment to thank God for that time. So before we eat, they'll be like, okay, time to pray. They'll say it before we do, right? They know so much that we are people that thank God all the time. That's just what we do. And also too, like, we like to ask people, like, before we leave each other, like, hey, how can we pray for you? And some of them are like, well, what? But then after a while, they're like, yeah, they seem to really appreciate it. And they'll share things that are kind of maybe a little deep, right? Because we want to love God by loving them. And that affects them, right? They see the difference. They see that we're not the same. And they're willing to share and open up. So how does loving Jesus affect others around you? Maybe in church, right? How does maybe serving and leading worship, it can inspire other people to do so as well. Whereas you serve and you welcome and greet, that can help other people feel more welcome. As you give money or time to church, right? That shows other people you really care about this stuff. It helps other people to see that you care too. Next part in this passage, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii, again, about a year's salary, and given to the poor? He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. And so Judas didn't like what Mary did because he was selfish. He didn't like what Mary was doing and sacrificing, giving to Jesus. Why? Because he was greedy. He wasn't saying, look, this is wrong to serve. This is wrong to give. He's like, man, I could have been using some of that perfume money. So he's against this because he's selfish motives. And as I read this, I feel like, well, I'm not the guy that shoots down people, but maybe I'm not too far from Judas. Maybe sometimes my motivation to serve Jesus is out of selfishness. Sometimes it is selfishness, right? I do these things for Jesus so that I can get something from him, right? Judas only followed Jesus, it seems, so that he could get money. Right, because he was stealing from the purse. People would give money to Jesus to provide for the disciples. But then Judas is like, sneaking monies. And then also eventually Judas betrays Jesus for money as well. Right? So Judas was all about with Jesus so that he can get something from Jesus. So whatever he did was so that he can get something out of it. And I feel like sometimes my motivation with God is like that. The things that I feel that I can get something from God, I'm like, yeah, right? I want God to help me. So I'll pray for the things for me. I'll pray to God to help me with my problems. I'll pray. But do I only pray just because it benefits me, or do I pray for other people? Or maybe we go to a fellowship event or something, right? When I was younger, I would only go to the ones because it was fun, because I liked it. I didn't care about helping or serving. I didn't care about whether I grew. I just wanted to have fun. Right? So people would be like, oh, Jonathan, he serves so much, but I just did it because I liked it, not because it was good for God. And so when it came to sacrifice, when either I could serve God or hang out with my friends, well, hanging out with my friends is more fun. That's what I want. And so I would ditch the church thing and go hang out and do other stuff. Right? When it comes to giving and sacrificing my time or my money or something, right? Like, well, I just want to get something out of church. This requires me to give. So no, thank you. What is your motivation to serve Jesus whenever you think, I don't want to do that, or I can't do that, ask yourself, why? Why can't you? Why can't you maybe spend a little time praying to God? I mean, of course, there's different reasons. I'm not saying everybody needs to do everything all the time. But I think there are times where we need to ask our hearts to say, hey, look, what's the real reason? What's the real thing? Do you only do things for God when you get out of it? Or do you do it because you love Jesus so much? Mary's actions were at the right opportunity. Jesus answered, leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. Little did she know that Jesus was going to die in about a week. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Right? Jesus knows he's going to die soon. He's going to get buried. He's going to get resurrected. He's going to spend 40 days on earth with his disciples, and then whoop. And so little did Mary know. Mary saw this opportunity. What if Mary had waited 1 week? I have this perfume. Should I give it to Jesus? Should I not? Let me give it a week to think about it. What would have happened? Jesus would have died. Oh, too late, right? Right? But when she just pulled the trigger and she went and she served and gave it to Jesus, because that was the opportunity that arose. She didn't know that Jesus was going to die, but if she did, right? Imagine the regret in her heart. Every time she saw that expensive perfume, she'd be like, dang, I could have given it to Jesus. She had an opportunity to give and to serve and to love and do something. And so she did it. And I think too, we need to also ask, what opportunities to love Jesus are open to you now? Right, let's say a new person visits our church. They might come next week, they might not. Are you willing to love Jesus by welcoming them and loving and caring for them? Because you don't know if they're going to come here next week, or you can introduce yourself and talk to them. Maybe this week your schedule is a certain way and you want to spend your time reading your Bible and praying. Maybe next week's going to be even worse, right? Maybe the opportunity was very open now, but it's going to be harder later. Or maybe when I see the young people here, I had so many opportunities to grow and to learn, and I wish I did when I was younger, because I had to unlearn so much as an adult. I had to change so many things. I made so many mistakes as an adult. I hurt so many people with what I did. I had the opportunity to connect with Jesus, to love Jesus, to grow with Jesus, et cetera, when I was that age. But I just opportunities and just brushed them off. And as a result, there's a lot of pain and suffering what I've done to people over time. What opportunities to love Jesus are open to you now? Right? Jesus is out there with his arms open. Are you going to take that? Are you going to hug? Kind of like with me and Mitzi. I like to hug Mitzi a lot. Sometimes Mitzi's like, I'm busy. I go like, and Mitzi's like, I'm busy. I have a meeting in 2 minutes. I'm like, oh. It's okay, she does hug me though. She does. But sometimes she's like, I'm busy. I have this. And I'm like, how many of us are like with Jesus, right? Jesus is like, hey, I saved you. I gave you eternal life. You know, you're my family now. And Jesus wants to love us and hug us and just be with us. But we're like, I want to sleep in this morning, Jesus. I don't feel like it right now, Jesus. I'm not, you know, and we're kind of like pushing him away. But here, Mary just like, hey, look, I'm just going to just get in there and get a big, warm hug. And think about the results, right? When Jesus eventually died, one of her last memories was honoring Jesus by this perfume and honoring him and loving him. One of the last memories was giving up, sacrificing for the man that she loves and cares for. I don't want our last memory to be like, oh, shoot, I had an opportunity to serve God, but I did it. So as you think about this passage, right, it's such a short and simple passage, but there's so much depth as we think about this. What is preventing you from loving Jesus more? I'm not saying you need to go and give up everything and sell all your possessions and love Jesus 24/7. I'm just asking, wherever you're at right now, what's preventing you from going one step higher? Maybe you're not reading the Bible. What's preventing you from reading the Bible 2 minutes a day? Not 20, not 30, or 2 hours, just 2 minutes a day. right? Maybe you're not praying. What's preventing you from just like giving God a 10-second prayer, just one step higher, right? Or maybe you are kind of praying, but it's like, what's preventing you from praying a little bit more or reading a little bit more? Maybe what's preventing you from letting other people around you know that you're Christian? Or maybe if they know you're Christian, what's preventing you from like sharing a little more influence to other people? Maybe you're giving your time or money, or you're not, to church under the group. What's preventing you from giving just a little bit, right? Not saying you need to cut a check for $1 million, but like, how can I give a little bit more of my time, or give a little bit more money, give a little bit more, just one notch, right? I'm not asking us to all be like Mary and jump into that $48,000 of perfume. But what's preventing us from just doing one more, like just the next level, to love each other, to care for each other, to encourage each other, to spend time with God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? What's preventing us from doing that one thing? Is it the cost? Is it the sacrifice? Sacrifice, right? Sacrifice 2 minutes a day. Is that something compared to what Jesus has done for you? Sacrifice a little bit of that awkwardness to be able to pray in public among your friends. Sacrifice a little bit of that something. What is that? Secondly, what's your motivation to serve Jesus? Is it only because I just like it, because I get something out of it? Or is it because of what Jesus has done for you? He died on the cross for you, man. Like, what's your motivation? And lastly, what opportunities do you have to serve Jesus? Everybody has different opportunities, right? What opportunities is God putting in front of you? And everybody has unique things, there's unique times, et cetera, et cetera. But what is it? And again, I don't want us to think that we all need to be like Mary. We don't need to all be like some famous missionary. But what is it that's going to help us to grow that one little step? And so as we close with this song, I'm just going to pray real quick and we'll close with the song. I want us to think, what is God laying on your heart? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your son, Jesus Christ. You did not think of the cost when you gave up your life, Jesus. You did not think about how bad it might look in front of other people when you died like a criminal for us. You didn't care about your own well-being, Jesus. You gave it 110%. You gave up your life. You were tortured, beaten, whipped, and so on to die for us sinners, God. You loved us so much. And you also gave us eternal life. You give us the Holy Spirit. You give us everything we ever had. You never worried about the cost. And you never let the awkwardness stop you, God. I pray that we can also do the same. Help us to do the same too. What's preventing us from growing, Lord? Help us to think about that. What's stopping us from doing that one next step to love you a little bit more? What's the next step that's stopping us from serving a little more, from caring a little more, from being a little more open with our faith a little bit more? Help us to see what's going on. Help us to see your motivations too, so that we can say, maybe we're coming at this wrong. Help us to be selfless like you, Jesus. And lastly, Lord, help us to see the opportunities we have to love you and to love each other. Help us to not miss the opportunities you've given us, but as it help us to embrace you with open arms, God. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan, for the message. As you were preaching, I was definitely thinking about that parable that Jesus tells about the poor woman who only had 2 pennies. Jesus praised and honored her for giving those 2 pennies because that was all she had. I know I'm definitely one to be always counting like my comfort and then this and this and this is going to be sacrifice. But I just pray like if there's any fear in our hearts right now that we would not be intimidated by it, but that we would really bring that before Jesus and bring him all that we have. So let's stand. And we're going to sing the next song. This is The Stand. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke my life into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. Life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. And what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. Sing, all I am is yours. All I am is yours.
Take a moment of silence and ask yourself these three questions. What is God laying on your heart? And I always ask these questions. The questions I always ask are stuff I always ask myself, right? So I'm not like, ooh, magical compared to you guys. But the questions I always ask are things I ask myself too. So I'm always praying and asking God. So I'm with you guys throughout all of this. So let's take a minute and just ask yourself these questions and see which one God is putting on your heart. Thank you. I pray that throughout this week, Lord, help us to see what it is that is holding us back. Help us to give freely and openly, just as Mary gave to you and that you gave to us. Thank you, Lord, for your generosity. Help us to also be generous with you as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May all be seated. So some quick announcements, upcoming events. We're going to have youth fellowship that'd be Friday. I should have changed it. There's some things that change with the schedule with the youth. So we're going to meet, that should be October 1st, Friday. Yeah, sorry about that. Because we just changed some of the schedule recently. And so just for this one, we'll be meeting on Friday, October 1st. After that, we're going to start meeting on Saturday mornings. Because that's, after the parents talk to me and seeing what the schedule is like, youth are going to meet on Saturday mornings now at 9:30 to 11 o'clock. But just this one Friday, because Mitzi and I are volunteering with a refugee ministry, we already scheduled this a while ago. So we're going to be busy this coming Saturday. But after that, we'll be meeting on Saturday mornings for youth fellowship. So just this Friday once. Joint worship will be on October 3rd, 10:30 to 12 o'clock in person and online. And if you're coming in person, make sure to give us a heads up so they kind of know how to arrange the space and provide for communion. October 9th, adults will be doing Word Go Sharing and Adult Fellowship. And October 10th, we have the special guest speaker, Ivy Clark. Again, we encourage you guys, you can invite your friends to be able to participate, be able to hear. Mitzi will be inviting some of her non-Christian friends to join. And it's going to be something very different. I know that my way of speaking and preaching isn't the magical way that hits everybody. And so it's always good to hear different voices, different angles, different experiences, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, the topic will be, she'll be talking about Jesus calming the storms. And according to her, she's done a lot of research about this. And this is like her, something that she's really into preaching, the subject. So I anticipate something very good, because this is like her, I ask her like, hey, are you into something? She's like, oh yeah, I really would like to preach about this. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
You know, your friends are maybe going through a storm or going through a tough time or battling with anxiety. I think this is a great opportunity to invite
friends. Yeah. As Mitzi was saying with the people online, if you got any friends that are going through some stuff, it's a good time to invite them to be able to learn about how they can go to Jesus for help. How you can serve. How about doing something that shows how much you love Jesus? Like one way to serve is just to let other people know how much you love Jesus, right? That's always something that is infectious. Being able to talk about Jesus, nerd out about Jesus, like doing that at church and among each other is a great way to serve, right? It helps other people to be encouraged, helps them to hear about like, oh, they're really reading the Bible. They're really into Jesus. They really want to serve Jesus and so on and so on. And that's a great influence. That kind of shapes the culture of our church, of showing people that are super into it, right? Like if you go to a club or a group, you know, school club, if it's about gaming, everybody talks about gaming and shows how much they love it. It's an anime. People talk about it, right? Like, let's do that here too. Let's talk about our experience with God. Let's talk about what we're doing with God. Let's talk about it. Let's do that. That's a great way to serve. And it helps encourage other people as well. And also, we're always doing visitations. Hopefully the weather won't be too stinky. We can go for a walk. We can go out to for like a get some coffee or something. Or we can figure something out. Let us know. Yes.
So for people, if you are attending online next week, please prepare for communion. Yeah, so please prepare for the elements.
So Mitzi was saying, if you're attending online next week, prepare for the communion elements if you're participating with us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so catch up time. How can you commit to loving Jesus more this week? And again, not the magical step, you're going to go do missions in India tomorrow, but like, what's that one step to do that one, right? A little bit more. That's Kaizen, this thing. One step better. Or what's a highlight of this past week?